Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
And as usual, welcoming your phone calls and text messages, your lawn and garden questions from Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Hi, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny.
Nice to see you again.
And good to see you.
Busy downtown today, isn't it?
It is busy downtown today. I thought everybody'd be out deer hunting, but no.
No. There are many working. Of course, there's a lot of the, the parking meters are bagged.
All covered, yes. Yeah. So there's no
Which
parking.
Which makes it a challenge. We're glad you made it in, though. If you do have a question for Teresa, either phone calls or text messages. And you know, we always tend to get busy. So don't wait. Call in or text in your lawn and garden question. Well, what have you been doing at home now as far as getting, getting your yard and garden winterized?
I haven't been doing much. I've been waiting for most of the leaves to finish falling.
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't have a turf. I don't have any turf in my yard, so I don't have to worry about mowing or anything or raking or anything. But I'm just waiting to get them off of the sidewalks and throwing them into the garden.
Clean it up a little bit.
Cleaning it up because you don't want to put a lot of leaves down yet because the ground isn't frozen. And if you put a lot of leaves down now over everything, then the mice and the voles have a wonderful place to live all winter, and they eat all the roots of your plants.
That's a good point.
So you don't want to put down that winter mulch, they call it, until the ground is just about frozen.
I have a feeling, Teresa, we're probably going to get some tree trimming questions. We're getting into that season, like for oaks.
It's still a little early, I think, for the oaks, but your maples and things like that. You know, and the tree trimmers know what they're doing, the certified arborists. But I just want to caution people that when you're making a cut, when you're pruning a tree or a bush or a shrub, what you do is you cause a chemical reaction in the plant, and then the plant wants to start growing at that point. Or activating the nearest growth point. So then it starts putting on growth when it really should be getting dormant, becoming dormant. So it takes energy from the roots and puts on this growth that's not going to be hardy enough to make it through winter. So it's kind of a double hit on the plant. It's losing some some of the growth, and it's taking some energy out. And then if you cut too early in the winter, the wound, if the tree's gone dormant, the wound doesn't seal up as well as it should, so the dryness can creep further into the cut area. So,
all right.
So that's why, you know, pruning in January, February, March is a little better than December.
Makes sense. 651-989-9226 or send a text to Teresa, 81807. See who's been waiting. Joan's calling in from Edina. Joan, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Good morning, Joan.
I'm calling about my azalea bush. It's a very old bush. It's probably 30, 35 years mm-hmm. old, and it blossoms profusely every spring.
Wonderful.
I looked out today and yesterday rather, and it's just loaded with little green buds.
Yep.
What will happen?
There's nothing we can do. All you can do is hope for winter to come and those buds to stop growing. They have a lot of, it's not antifreeze, but it's like an antifreeze in them, and they hold that antifreeze in them until the buds get to a certain point, and then they lose the antifreeze and they burst open and flower. So we want the coolness to come so the plant stops growing those buds. There's nothing we can do. It gets a little goofy sometimes. Our plants get a little confused by the long cool weather and then warm weather and cool weather. They don't quite know what season they're in. So you may be seeing the same thing on lilacs and magnolias and things like, and mock oranges. There's not much we can do. We can just hope for the best. And if it goes through okay and we get flowers next spring, or the plant can right itself and we get more normal weather and the plant can be okay the following year. But right now there's nothing you can do except don't be pruning. If it gets really dry, water, and just make sure you give those azaleas and things a little extra mulch. They have a fibrous root system. So you want to make sure those roots are mulched a little bit in the winter.
Very good. I want to make mention that our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture down in Jordan, Minnesota, sponsor the show every week, and we do thank them for that.
Thank you, By the Yard people.
Yes, great stuff. We'll talk about that furniture as we move through the hour. 651-989-9226. Skip is calling from Bloomington. Skip, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Skip.
I may have missed your talk about, is it too late to prune bushes now or cut bushes until winter or something?
It's sort of too late and too early at the same time. So if there's one branch that really is going to be in your way all winter, you can go ahead and do the one prune or the one cut. Otherwise, you really should hold off pruning until January, February, or you should have had it done by like September 1st. So if you think of between September and December 15th or December 1st, those aren't pruning times. Anything else, you can prune your regular shrubs and trees. So if that helps, yeah.
All right. By the way, text number is 81807. I don't want to forget our texters either. Here's one. Large part of our lawn under two large maple trees and near crab apple trees. Southwest exposure. Grass completely gone.
Sure.
Any suggestions as to what to grow?
You know, I would think of a woodland garden. So you could put in some fescue in some of the areas that get a little bit more light. That's a fine grass, and it can take a little bit of the shade. So a fescue would work there if you need a little turf. Otherwise, consider putting things like hostas and Virginia bluebells and epimediums, and look for the shade garden plants. They'd be very beautiful. Create a beautiful woodland garden. And what you want to do is dig a hole. When you have the plants, dig a hole, put a little compost in, add your plant, and then maybe run some soaker hoses for a few years or a year or two, just to give those plants a little extra. The maple roots are going to take a lot of the energy and the moisture, so you want those to get established. There is a book you can get online called Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites. You can Google that, and you can get that online for free, and there is some shade garden plants under there, dry shade under trees, which was what you would have with a maple. And there's also a lot of other things, you know, deer-resistant plants, rain garden plants, steep slope plants, plants for a septic system. And it's a free book you can download.
Well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, so it's fun. It's made by Master Gardeners of Minnesota under Professor Mary Meyer's help.
I may ask you to repeat that before you leave today.
Yep.
651, by the way, 651-989-9226 is the phone number, or again, text number is 81807. Carrie is calling from Brooklyn Park with a question. Good morning, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Good morning. I have five hydrangea bushes, and I'm wondering, They've been in the ground for a long time. The one is the oldest, is 12.
Mm-hmm.
Should I cut those down this fall or leave them until spring?
I would leave them till spring. You may want to protect them in case rabbits or deer want to eat them. Otherwise, leave them till spring. If you have some of the ones that hold if they're just bushes, you're okay. If they were trees, I would say you may want to cut a few of the flowers off for just so that they don't get weighed down, the branches don't get weighed down with snow. Otherwise, you know, consider harvesting some of those flowers and using them in your holiday decorations, with your spruce tips and things like that. But I would leave them until spring and then go ahead and cut back as you want to.
Okay, very good. Is it too late, Texter wants to know, to divide lilies, Asiatics, or are they like tulips as long as the ground isn't frozen, or are they like daffodils and it's too late?
Oh, you know, I think in this case with the Asiatics, I would say go to extension.umn.edu. And right now it's really kind of late to be dividing and planting anything because we really don't have 6 weeks till the ground's going to freeze up. So what I would do is then divide them at the proper time. I do believe that's an early fall thing, so you're kind of late on that. But also with your Asiatics, they tend to dig themselves deeper, so go deeper with your shovel than you think so you don't cut into the corms.
All right, tell you what, Teresa, we're going to take a quick break. We have more show to come. If you have any kind of a lawn and garden question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, call it in or send a text here on CCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Denny Law here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering your phone calls and text messages as usual. And as usual, Teresa, we have many.
That's wonderful.
Keep you busy.
I love you, gardeners. Thank you.
Let's go back. Let's do the phones here because folks have been waiting like Caroline in Coon Rapids. Caroline, good morning. What can we do for you?
Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning. I received a wisteria plant. It was about 5 feet tall in June. I planted it with a trellis along a fence, and it actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't blossom, of course, but mm-hmm. Now what do I do? I put wood chips on the bottom of the base for the whole summer and kept it watered.
Okay.
And so now I don't know, do I prune it back? Do I leave it?
You want to prune it in early spring and make sure you never feed your wisteria. And if it looks to be established, don't water it anymore. You want to be kind of mean to it. It sometimes can take up to 5 to 7 years to bloom. So be patient. They get huge. They get really big. So that trellis may need to be replaced at some time unless it's industrial strength. But they are a plant that just takes a little while to get mature enough to bloom. And make sure you're not feeding or overwatering it. You want it to be kind of tough. So don't give it any compost or anything. Be mean to it. Be mean to it.
All right, Caroline. Let's see. Thank you. Jake is calling from Faribault, Minnesota. Jake, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, Denny and Teresa. I got a question about winter fertilizer.
Okay.
When do you use it and do you recommend it?
If you're thinking of your turf, yes. And the university suggests that you use it in the first half of September. And what it does is it gets down and it helps the roots be healthy and come back really nice and green leaves in the spring. So it really helps for that spring growth. And it is suggested that if you do have a turf, that if you're going to feed it, that the winterizer is the one you do for sure if you want a very low maintenance turf. Also understand that when you're mowing and you leave your cuttings on, you're giving one feeding also or a fertilizer during the year. It's about equal to that. So then you're really kind of feeding it twice. You don't have to use a winterizer, but it's a wonderful thing to do for your turf. And just do low maintenance, and that's the one time you have to fertilize.
I was thinking about watering, and you guys here that help us out on the show suggest like up until what, the frost, until the ground is frozen?
Until the ground's frozen, because the
really
roots are
water.
Still active.
Yeah.
And
can you still do that? I'm looking at the forecast.
Yep.
No problem through midweek, but Starting Wednesday night, we'll get down to 24.
Yep, you can water. You know, you'd be watering during the day when it's a little warmer out there. I see what you're saying. So if the air temperature is under 30, do you want to water?
But at least this week we still have a chance.
I would still water.
Maybe more.
And it depends on how much rain you've gotten.
That's true.
Here in the cities, we're a little lower on rain, I think.
We're getting some this week.
We're getting some, but other parts of the state, you've gotten a lot of rain, so you're okay. So you have to know what your rain gauge is doing. Listen to your local weather person. Put out rain gauges and see what your rain gauges are doing. It just hooks you to your yard a little bit better, and you just start to understand what's going on in your yard if you think, oh, I've got to go check the rain gauge.
Text number is 81807. Here's a text, Teresa. Somebody wants to have you tell us about your yard with no turf.
Oh, my yard with no turf. Okay, I have to tell you, first of all, I'm a really super lazy gardener, and I'm the cheapest gardener you'll ever find. I'm also, as a master gardener, I like to kind of experiment with things, and I be, quote, mean, unquote, mean to my plants. I don't fertilize them. I don't take really good care of them. I want to see how tough they are. And the tough ones survive. So those are the ones I know I can recommend to people. But I do have a lot of fruit trees in my yard. My yard is a certified National Wildlife Habitat. I do have chickens out there fighting with the raccoons frequently. But I used to have a big elm tree, and I had a beautiful shade garden. I lost that when the elm came down. So then I put in a bunch of fruit trees. So now I have some apple trees and peach trees and apricot trees and things like that. And some herbs in a little tiny area that is sunny enough still for veggies, and then I usually grow my veggies in pots close to the house on the balcony, and the chippies like that, or close to the house. The chippies like to eat all my tomatoes, so it's just an ongoing thrill.
That sounds kind of neat.
It's not a beautiful yard to most people's mind, but to my mind, it's very beautiful because it's very lush. It's very filled and packed with things and a lot of variety. But it's not your typical, you know, yard and garden beautiful beyond the.
You don't have to mow. You could be specialized.
Well, if you don't have to mow, you can just sit out there and read, and you don't. Yeah,
imagine that.
It's so much more fun.
Yeah.
And so that's what I do, and I don't. I just kind of go with the seasons and like to see how the plants respond. And
Texter also wants to know. Let's see. When is the best time to plant wildflower seeds?
It depends. And if they're native wildflower seeds, you probably want to plant them in the fall because they do need to go through winter stratification. And if you're starting to freak out and think, oh, I don't have time, think about going to wintersown.org. And what it is you plant your seeds in milk jugs in January and set them outside. And it's a way to get them stratified. And then they come up, and then you would just plant them out where you have your garden prepared then. But most of our native plants need to go through that winter cold and freezing and thawing. So plant them in the fall. Make sure you keep watering and protect them from, you know, squirrels digging them up and birds and stuff like that.
Sure. All right. Before we break, Maria is calling from Buffalo with a question. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Yes, good morning. First of all, I want to say thank you for your show. We listen to it every Saturday morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you. I have a magnolia tree my husband gifted me about 5 years ago. It's doing beautifully, white flowers in the springtime. Mm-hmm. And later on in the fall, those flowers then become the seeds, of course. And mm-hmm. right now I have picked about maybe over 100 little red seeds from the tree. Mm-hmm. Are they viable? Do they have to go through that stratified?
They probably would have to go through winter stratification. I don't know if it's a hybrid, how viable those seeds would be, but I would definitely try them and see if you can get some seedling growing. And if it is a hybrid, you may or may not get the same kind of tree that you have now or the same magnolia bush. It could be a little different depending on where parentage it's pulling from. A lot of those seeds then could also be sterile. So I don't know that much about magnolia seeds. I know we have a bunch of magnolias in the cities. We don't have a lot of magnolias planting up, sprouting up everywhere. So I'm thinking a lot of the seeds aren't that viable. But then again, maybe the squirrels are eating them all.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Maria. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We have another half hour of the show to go, so don't go away. More Smart Garden here on News Talk 830 WCC. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture down near Jordan, Minnesota. Denny Long here in studio with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, welcoming your phone calls and text messages. We have, as I said, almost another half hour of the show to go, so join in, 651-989-9226, or send a text, 81807. Texter says, your yard sounds like a food forest. I love it.
That's exactly the word I was going for, yes. And the squirrels and the raccoons love it, too.
Very good. By the way, that text number is 81807. Here's one, Teresa, that says, I have a tree-type hibiscus that we brought in a couple of weeks ago, and it is huge. Can I still cut it back, and how much?
You can cut it back a third, a half, whatever you need. Don't be surprised if it does lose all its leaves. That's typical when you bring plants in. Just keep it nicely watered and give it as much bright light as you can. When it starts flowering, you can then again fertilize it.
Okay. Texter wants to know, is it too late to plant tulips?
No, you can plant tulips as long as you can dig the soil. Don't wait till snowstorms to plant them because that's not much fun. I speak from experience.
All right. Oh, here's our Creeping Charlie comment of the day.
Oh, God, I was looking for Creeping Charlie.
Texter says, have a chemical-free fenced area with a crop of Creeping Charlie. The flowers make great tea.
That's possible. It is an herb. It is a mint. I've never tried it, so I don't know, but I have heard that it's edible. And Tuesday, I'm voting for dandelions and Creeping Charlie. Okay. So that's what I'm voting for on Tuesday.
Will you make that tea? You let me know.
I don't think I will be making the tea.
Let's go back to the phones. Bill is on the road. He has a question for you. Bill, Teresa's listening.
Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Teresa. I sure enjoy the show. Yeah, I heard you mention you have peach trees in your yard.
Yes.
Just wondering what kind you have and how that's working out for you.
There's three varieties that work really well here in the Zone 4 area. Intrepid, Contender, and Reliance. So they're all named after warships or some goofy thing like that. Those work really well. I have two of the three, and I can't remember which ones they are. They're working out really well. The peaches taste excellent. I believe that they're freestone peaches, if I remember correctly. And the only thing with the peach trees and all those fruit trees is they're very susceptible. All those trees in the Prunus are very susceptible to a lot of diseases. So don't worry if your peach tree gets something after 10, 15, 20 years. That's just what happens to them, and then you get to replant another kind and have fun again. But those would be the three I would suggest, Reliance, Intrepid, and Contender.
All right, very good. Thank you, Bill. Texter wants to know, should we winter protect a magnolia tree that was planted last spring? Thanks for your advice.
Oh, good idea. Anything you've planted this year, I would do some winter protection on it, whether it's mulching the base or protecting it from rabbits. So, yes, I would protect it.
Well, kind of a follow-up here as far as magnolia. Most magnolia seeds, Texter says, also need to have simulated going through a bird system.
This can be accomplished by
taking the seed coat off of the seed and placing the seed in a bowl with a can of Coca-Cola
for
12
acid.
Hours, then plant the seeds in the fall.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep. There's a really good seed starting and dividing book by Mr. Toogood. That's all I can remember. It's a good book to get on divisions and things like that. And you can always go to extension.umn.edu for questions on seeds and things like that.
I was going to ask you to do that, to give the website. We hadn't done that yet. And I was told you earlier that Tony and I, my son, are heading out for lunch today, and when we do, we're going to be near the Arboretum.
Yes.
And I thought we'd pick up some apples at the Apple House.
That would be wonderful.
That's just down a little bit west of
the Arboretum. That's just a mile west of the Arboretum. So, you know, go to the Arboretum, enjoy it, and then before you head home, go to the Apple House or vice versa, whichever. And the apples will make your car smell so good when
yes.
you get in.
Mm. Absolutely.
You'll have all those wonderful varieties of apples, and oh, how delicious.
So we'll do that today.
And I don't know if people know this, but the university, the university systems out at the Arboretum has developed a lot of apples and a lot of grape varieties. So you can thank the people at the Apple House and the university for all those wonderful Honeycrisp, Sweet Tango, Swenson Red grapes, all those different things. They're developed right here in Minnesota.
Isn't that neat?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's amazing what they do over there. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. But we have texters, we have callers. Before we get back to the phones, is it texter says, is it too late to cut down buckthorn and use stump killer on the stumps to prevent growth in the spring?
Kill it. No, it's not too late. Go ahead. This is a great time to do it. I would use the stump killer right now. As soon as you cut, use the stump killer. If you wait to use it in the spring, it's already sealed over. So you want to put that stump killer down within 15 minutes of the fresh cut. So that's what you want to do.
That buckthorn is nasty.
It's you know, it's a really good plant for what it's used for. It was brought over from Europe. It's a wonderful landscape plant. However, the berries, the birds will eat them. It's not their favorite. But then it gives the birds diarrhea. So within a mile, they're pooping it out. And those seeds are very aggressive. And they have a chemical where the seed starts to grow and it inhibits a lot of other plants. And so that takes over our natural areas. And so all those plants that the animals need in the natural areas are then replaced by buckthorn that they don't need. And it kills a lot of our spring ephemerals and things like that. And even the chemical is throughout the whole plant, and it does impact. So you don't want to like put buckthorn in your mulch and things like that either.
Do they still call it a noxious weed? I thought they did at one time.
It's noxious or invasive. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Buckthorn is something you want to get rid of.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Back to the phones we go. Nancy's calling from Denison. Nancy, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. I have a calla lily that I had in a pot, and I pulled it out of the pot and I'm letting the bulb dry.
Mm-hmm.
It also set a seed pod this summer. I let it go to seed.
Oh, way cool.
Now, are those seeds something that need to be chilled or kept in a refrigerator, or can I just let them dry out and plant in the spring? Or
I would, you know, you can always keep them in the fridge in a glass jar that's sealed up. That's a stable temperature. If your house has stable temperature and the humidity is not going to fluctuate too much, you can just dry them and store them as you would your other seeds. I don't know how viable they are. I don't know that much about calla lilies. If you are really interested, I would suggest checking out the University of Florida. They may have some really good information. They have good information on the tropicals down there.
Very good. Thanks, Nancy.
Good luck.
Phone number is 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Here's a text. Why can you not plant milkweed at this time of year?
No, you can. This is when you have to plant milkweed because it has to go through the winter stratification. So when you're buying those seeds in the spring to plant milkweed, it's not going to come up till the following spring. So plant it now.
Another text says, should I cut my raspberry canes back now?
I believe they suggest in January, February to cut your raspberry canes back. Again, I would direct you to the university website. They have an excellent page on raspberries. Or if you don't want to go to extension.umn.edu, just take the lazy way like I do, being a lazy gardener, and just Google raspberries UMN. It'll bring you right to the right page that you need.
I know we had a call just a bit ago about wisteria, but a texter says, can you also cut back established wisteria? And again, how much?
You know, the wisteria, it can take a lot of pruning. So go ahead and just chop to your heart's content. Go ahead. It puts out a lot of growth, you know, 5-10 feet a year. So you can really chop it back quite vigorously.
5-10. Wow.
It's a
amazing.
Very aggressive vine. Yes.
Somebody said they're voting for the same thing as you.
All right.
I wish I had more Creeping Charlie in my yard. I bet you we'd have a lot of volunteers.
Yeah, if you post it up on LinkedIn or Nextdoor, your neighbors will probably share with you.
let's see. I've heard mulching leaves and lean. I don't know. That must be a typo.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to this one.
Okay.
Is it time to, is there time now to overseed? Is there a specific seed to use? Well, we're kind of in the middle.
In the turf thing. It's a little too late for overseeding. It's a little too early for dormant seeding. So, again, I would suggest going to the website, extension.umn.edu, click on the garden and lawn tab, and look at the seeding. You can do a dormant seeding just before the snow comes, and that works really well. That can work really well if the birds don't eat it, the mice don't eat it all winter, if it doesn't rot in the spring or get washed away with the snow melt.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Kevin is calling from Forest Lake. Kevin, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Oh, no, Kevin's
gone. Give me a rhubarb plant.
Okay.
I put it in a pot, And, of course, I've cut it down and everything, but I'm wondering over the winter, what can you do with the pot, or can I already transplant it still?
You know, you can sink the pot in the ground right now and just give it a good covering of leaves once the ground starts to freeze. That would maybe be your best bet. You can also plant it in the ground now, and then try not to disturb the roots or anything, but just plant it in the ground, and then make sure for sure that you mulch it really well once the ground freezes, because it would not have had time to root out, and it could pop out of the ground in January, and then you can't get it back in again.
Tell you what, Teresa, okay. A quick break. We have more show to come, more Smart Garden here on CCO. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at Buy the Yard Patio Furniture. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is helping you out this day. I think you're going to be here next week too, aren't you?
I think so. It's a possibility.
All right. Well, we hope so.
Look at my calendar.
We hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Let's put you back to work. Who has been waiting? Sue is calling from Young America. Sue, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, good morning. I have three very small sugar maples. The grandkids and I started them from sugar maple seeds this past spring.
Oh, wonderful.
And I am wondering how to protect them during the winter from heavy snow and rabbits.
Mm-hmm. Are they outside already, hopefully?
Yeah.
In the ground. Okay. A fence of chicken wire works really wonderfully. Put the fence up, get a little bag of leaves and, hold the leaves there. And once the ground is just about frozen or totally frozen, you can just fill up the whole little fence with leaves and, even above I don't know how tall they are, but, that will protect the roots, and it will protect the most of the plant from the snow, and the fence will protect it from bunnies.
All right, very good.
Good luck.
Thank you very much, Sue. Let's see. Fred is calling from West St. Paul, I believe. Morning, Fred.
Morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for your program, you guys. It's part of our Saturday ritual here.
Oh, how wonderful.
Excellent.
We got a question that has to do with the inside, and that is the details and timeliness of doing containerized gardening. We want to for some tulip bulbs for early bloom, and would just like to have you just kind of outline that process and give us a timetable if possible.
You purchase the tulips that bloom the earliest in the spring, the ones that say they're early spring. That those are the bulbs you want to use. And then they do need a chill time, so they need about like 12 to 14 weeks of chill time. So if you can get pre-chilled bulbs, that's wonderful. Otherwise, you can just plant them up, put them in the planter that you want to use, and put the planter in the refrigerator and keep it watered occasionally. And then after about 12 to 14 weeks, you can pull it out and they'll start growing. While they're in the refrigerator, you want to make sure you don't put apples in there, because apples emit the ethylene gas, which will impact the tulip bulbs and cause them to be deformed or even prevent them from blooming. So most of your bulbs will need a chill time. That's why we can grow bulbs up here in the north, and the poor people in the south can't grow bulbs. They have to buy the pre-chilled bulbs. So that's those poor southerners can have beautiful bulb arrangements really easy like we can up here. They don't have good lilacs down there.
Interesting.
Either, the paper whites don't need chilling, but everybody else does need pre-chilling.
Ed in Golden Valley is calling in with a question for you, Teresa. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ed.
Hi. Hey, my question is, I've got this summer, for some reason, there are voles, moles, gophers or something, but my lawn has turned into like a sponge. You can't hardly walk across. Mm-hmm. You just keep falling in all the pits. The whole neighborhood's kind of infested.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm hoping the winter takes care of this, gets rid of these creatures. I don't want to poison them or anything. We have a lot of feral cats that might be taking care of it.
Right.
But so will this damage my lawn a lot? Am I going to have to do what happens to all the dirt that comes out of the tunnel?
Well, what you might be seeing is the result of a grub infestation, and then moles are eating the grubs. So that's a good thing, because then the grubs can't eat the roots of your grass. So if you start to notice your grass is dying, you want to see if you can pull it back like a carpet. If that's the case, then you have a grub problem, and then you want to start treating for grubs and then just follow the university's recommendations for that. Otherwise, if you can just let the moles finish doing what they're doing, and once the food is gone, they will go away. You can use castor oil that will drive them away, but again, if it's throughout your whole neighborhood, they're just going to go somewhere else, and then once the castor oil disappears and the smell is gone, they'll come back again. So that you can also use traps where you put the trap and you figure out their tunnels, and then the trap cuts them, like spears them. So you can use the harpoon traps, and then they die underground. But you just kind of have to see what's going to happen with your yard and try to keep your grass as healthy as possible. Water when needed, if needed, and consider fertilizing for a winterizer. It's already past that, but maybe next year.
Boy, those moles can do a heck of damage.
They can do big time. Yeah, and you have to be careful. If you do know you have a mole issue out there, it can make your ground pretty unsteady, so be careful when you're mowing, because broken ankles aren't that much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I...
Yeah,
thanks.
So I would definitely go to the extension.umn.edu website and check it out.
All right. Let's see. Carrie is calling from Blaine with a question. Go ahead, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. I have a catalpa tree that we got from our garden, mm-hmm. and we have planted it in a pot.
Okay.
And can we keep that in the house for the winter, or does it need to be planted outside?
You know, you could try to keep it in the house. It should be okay in the house. You can go ahead and try. Give it as much light as you can and the water that it needs to get through. No fertilizing, anything like that. Or you could just sink the pot in the ground outside and... just like I was suggesting to the gentleman with the rhubarb, just mulch it really well once the ground freezes. You can do that. But, yeah, they want to be big trees, so you'll have to either plant it or think about pruning it to keep it as a house plant if that's what you wanted to do.
Don't want to forget about our texters either, Teresa. Here's one. Have a manavilla plant indoors. It's huge, and I love it. How can I get it to flower over the winter? It's in a south-facing room.
It does need, so you've got it bright lights. You may need to give it a little bit of fertilizer, so I would give it a diluted fertilizer, see if that kicks it in. You know, even in the bright rooms, we don't have that much light in the wintertime here, and your windows could be dirty, or they have a screen, or you have argon gas between the window panes for insulation. So you may want to give it some supplemental light. That may help.
Somebody's given me a broad hint here. It says the last weekend for the Apple House at the Arboretum.
Hurry to the Apple House. As soon as Denny's off the air, then go to the Apple House.
Well, you'll have time later today.
Okay.
But it's the last weekend, so I'm sure that tomorrow too would be available.
Yep, tomorrow too, yeah.
Texter wants to know, can I cut my clematis down?
You can do anything you want at any time you want in your garden. There's just repercussions of whatever you're doing. If it depends on what kind of clematis it is, how it blooms, whether it blooms on old wood, new wood, or both. If it blooms on old wood, you're getting rid of all of next year's flowers. If it blooms on new wood, it doesn't really matter. Blooms on both, it doesn't really matter. So you need to know what category it falls in for blooming.
A texter wants to know, does mulching leaves add any food value to the lawn?
Yes, it does. It adds organic matter, and it does add food, or it would add nutrition. I don't know what it would be adding, the percentage and what all it adds. But it is, you know, I mean, that the plant used the photosynthesis and everything, and it goes right back in.
But you can't leave 3 feet of leaves on your lawn.
You can if you want to kill your lawn.
It'll do it, too.
And
I've
that'll
it done.
Do it, you know.
Yeah.
Even 10 inches would do it. So.
Well, I know we're just about out of time, but a couple of things. You mentioned a free book.
A free book, yep. Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites. You just Google that. It'll bring you right there. Or go to the extension.umn.edu, and you can find it on the website, too. You can also purchase the books at the Arboretum when you're there.
Uh-huh.
I believe they have them. And at the Northern Gardener Store.
Easy enough. Now, for those who want to check out a great website.
Extension.umn.edu. Go there.
All right, Teresa.
Learn stuff.
Hope we see you next week.
I will be here. I can't remember when I am, but I'm here quite a few times for the rest of the year. Sorry,
Good
guys.
We look forward to it.
Okay.
Thanks again for your help.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.